Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. You know what? You don't get to pick your family. That's kind of picked for you, right? But you do get to pick your friends. You do get to pick your friends. And the question is, how do you pick your friends? How do you know that a friend's a friend? I get to pick up my grandkids sometime from school, and our little one, 5-year-old, I got a new best friend, you know, from preschool. Well, what's his name? I don't remember, you know. Hello. That's how kids can be, but maybe we do that too as adults. We pick friends and then later say, well, I'm not sure why I picked this person. You know, they're nice people, nice person, but it's not working out. So I tell you what we're going to do today. Earlier in the week, we talked about some of the problems in friendships and how to know when to fix or finish a friendship. If you missed the show, go back to Tuesday and listen to it. Very helpful show. But I thought today we'd kind of turn this on its head and talk a little bit about how to pick friends. How do you know a good friend? How do you pick a friend? So we got some great callers standing by. I'm Dr. Randy here at the Intentional Living Center, along with Stephen and Jennifer. Thank you for joining us. And we've got some great comments to get started. Let's start with Nancy first about the characteristics of friends. What do you think is most important, Nancy?
You know, and a friend that's always there, and actually you guys were always there from the beginning too. I became a believer probably in my late 30s, early 40s. It's been 20 years ago, and when I first became a believer, my husband was not very happy with me. In fact, he wouldn't talk to me or anything, and you guys had given me good advice that, you know, just love on him and be there for him, and, you know, don't act all like I'm better than you because I'm going to church or not type attitude. And it was great advice, and I had called back later and told you guys that I was serving him like I served Jesus, and instead of making me mad at him, I was happy because I was doing it what Jesus wanted me to do. And I had a good friend, Debbie, that was always there for me. She was a believer, and she just helped me grow stronger and stronger in my faith and just to love my husband and be loyal to him and stuff. And I had several people tell me, through the years, he started going to church with me more and more, but he still didn't accept Jesus as his Lord. He wouldn't take communion or anything because he knew that wasn't right. And I had several people told me that, Nancy, I think it's going to happen in 2017. I think Chris is going to become a believer. And so New Year's Eve, that Sunday morning, I prayed to the Lord, and I said, you know, if it's going to happen, we're kind of running out of time here. And so we had communion that day at church, and my husband would never take it. He just always, passed it by, didn't go up and get it. And that morning he told me, do you want me to go get it for both of us? And I looked at him, and I said, does that mean you accepted Jesus in your heart? And he said, yes, I have. And so our family, we have two children, and they married believers. You know, they're all believers. So he kept getting surrounded through the years. And our family's just ecstatic, you know. They are at peace knowing that they know where their dad's going to be now for eternity.
Well, that's a great story, Nancy. And God, I'm glad we were able to play a small part in that process. This gives you an opportunity to be, you talk about being intentional. This is an opportunity for you to be very intentional now that you're both on the same page.
Oh, and thank you too, because you guys were there. And I had called you several times through the last 20 years, and you guys always gave great advice, and I just so appreciate it.
Mm. Well, we'll try to be here for the next at least year. We'll see as we get older. Take it day by day. All right. Talking about how to be intentional in building friendships, how to pick friendships. Nancy reminds us, you know, that's important characteristic of that friendship. Sometimes it's patience, especially when that friendship is so close as a spouse. All right. Let's go to Amy over in Michigan. Amy, welcome to the show. What do you want to add to this this topic today?
So for me, top of mind is someone who will listen but not share it with everyone else. So I'll be honest, I have very few, very close friends. And just as important as finding those people that will listen without sharing is being that same person back for them.
Yeah.
So if
you say
I run
you don't
into
have...
people...
No, go ahead.
If you run into people that are sharing personal private information about everyone else they know, odds are they're not the right person to give your deepest, most inmost thoughts to. That's just how I've learned. I have a few people that can share anything with me. We pray for each other, hold each other accountable. So just being that person that listens, they don't always need somebody to fix it for them. They just need somebody to listen to how things are going at home or at school with their kids or, you know, those type of things.
Now, you said you don't have a lot of close friends. Is that part of the reason, just really picking people with higher trust level?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
My spouse wants me to cut off an opposite-sex friendship with someone that I've had from before we even got married. What should I do? I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I'm going to encourage you to cut it off. If it's a problem to your spouse, it's a problem to you. It may be a healthy relationship, and it may be your spouse's issue from their past history, but your first step should be toward your spouse to listen, to understand, to reassure. Don't go behind their back, and if they want you to cut that relationship off, then you should do that for the benefit of your marriage. You know, one of the things we've been talking about with opposite sex friendships is that you can make this a point of real growth in your marriage. These principles are coming from my book, Star for Affection, and if you'd like to learn more, you can get a copy for yourself. Go to theintentionallife.com for my book, Star for Affection. And I hope you do that. Today, we're talking friendships. You know, we're in a brand new month. I wouldn't know because it didn't cool down here in Tucson. You know, when they say it's cooling and it's 102, you're thinking, okay, wow, we got a cooling trend coming through. It's fall. Kids are back in school. The good news is in Arizona, most of the schools are pretty air conditioned and so on. But some of you all around the country, your kids have gone back with some high heat and poor ventilation. And I know some of us, unfortunately, sometimes some of the schools in the inner city sometimes are not provided for and taken care of like they need to and should be. And so anyway, I don't know how I got on that topic. Talk about friendships, though. Kids go back. It's interesting to see kids connecting with friends back in school and their best friends, and that works, and then it doesn't work, and all the drama around friendships. Remember that in high school? Remember the drama around friendships in high school? And we're just more sophisticated about all this when we get older. But we still have the drama with the friendships. So today we're really kind of focusing on how to have a healthy friendship, how to develop a healthy friendship. And my lesson, by the way, for this month of September is on the topic of how the small things can become the big things in your life. So often we focus on the big things, you know, getting married or having a career. But you got to realize if you're going to have a great marriage, there's a lot of small things that are going to go into making that work. Or if you're going to build a career, there's going to be a lot of things built into making that career work. And so the lesson this month is a really practical lesson on how to discover and also list and apply the small things that will result in the positive success stories of the big things in your life. And I'm excited about the lesson. It's going out this month to those of you who are standing in support of the ministry. And we appreciate it. You can find out more about the Ministry of Intentional Living, we're listener supported, what all that means, by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And also, just I want to throw out that starting next week, we're really going to start mentioning that we're doing an intentional love marriage date night coming up in just 2 months in Albuquerque on Saturday, November the 4th. And we've not mentioned it much yet, but we're going to start next week. I'll just give you a little preview. It's going to be a fantastic, fun night for couples. Here's the deal. We put up the ticket site just, I don't know, several days ago. And we're already seeing huge response. And so it's a limited space. So just a word, you might want to check it out at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Check on events. If you're anywhere near Albuquerque, come on over to Albuquerque, November 4th. Have a great time. All right. Talking about relationships, what are some of the qualities? Benjamin, my friend in Iowa, what are some of the qualities of a friendship that you really appreciate?
So what I first thought of when you were asking the question was work ethic, working hard in a friendship, not just to stay close to one another, but to work hard to bring out the best in each other. And what the verse I thought of was iron sharpens iron, so as one man sharpens another. And I was thinking of my friendship with my best friend, who's not in Iowa, but we maintain close contact still, as we push each other to be constantly in the Word, to be involved in our churches, to be praying with one another. And that's just the thought I think of, is the most important quality in a friendship is that we are pushing each other to be the godliest that we can be.
Yeah. I was thinking of a little passage in Hebrews that talks about provoking one another. It says that even provoke one another to good. What is that verse, Stephen? Provoking one another to love and good works, I think it is. There we go. Hebrews. Maybe Stephen will get me the verse so we can reference it exactly. But I think we need that in our friendships. I mean, that's a powerful thing. And Benjamin, do you keep in contact now? What do? You Zoom with your friend, that kind of thing, to keep in touch?
Mostly phone calls. Phone calls. We'll talk for 2 or 3 hours, 2 or 3 times a week. So.
Yeah, well, that's important to keep in touch. You know, sometimes friendships are over miles. You're far distance from your friends, and continuing to stay in touch. All right, thank you for that call from Iowa. Let's go next. Looks like we're going to go to Michael there in Texas. Michael, welcome to the show. What's a quality of friendship that you like?
Well, I think one indispensable quality would be that first you guys share the same faith, because it's I've learned if you don't have the same faith, your priorities tend to differ, and I saw that happen between me and my brother. We were the best of friends for all of my childhood, and then it's just when I became a Christian, when I got saved, I noticed things started to change, and the things that I wanted to do, how me and my brother used to bond, I didn't want to do anymore, and I found myself just drifting away from him. And my brother, he went to the extreme. He's an atheist, and I found that my friendship with my brother has turned into a ministry rather than a friendship. I tried to invite him to church every chance I get because I'm afraid for his soul, and I've just seen, you know, a lot of things that's happening, my priority shifting, but his seem to stay the same, and it's one of the biggest gaps between us now.
How does he deal with you? Invite him to church, and, I mean, does he think you're holier than thou, or what?
No, I try to not to put that demeanor on, or I try not to make it sound like that way, but I invite him to church, but he's very much shut off to church, and he says he appreciates the invitation, so I just keep trying to invite him, I keep trying to talk to him, I try to spend more time with him, just to have an opportunity to talk about him, but there's just that gap there, and I found that my friendship with him is turning more to a ministry rather than a friendship.
Yeah, I hear that, and God bless you. We'll be praying for you. I know people in that same boat understand what you're facing, and they'll join you in prayer, I'm sure. All right, let me see here. We're going to go next to Jill. Jill, what do you think about this thing on friendship?
I could write a book about my best friend, but the thing that stands out to me most was 13 years ago, my marriage was in a tough place. We're now good. Everything's good now. But we were facing some really, really dark days, and my friend never once said anything bad about my husband. And she was there for me. She was supportive. She dried my tears when I said, you know, she asked what she could do. I said, pray for my husband, because I can't. I just can't right now. And she prayed, but she never, ever said anything. She didn't join in on the husband bashing. You know, she knew all the good, the bad, and the ugly, but she would say, I know you're hurt. And she would tend to my needs, but she didn't side with me against him or you know, say, yeah, you're right, he really is a jerk, or anything like that. And
are you glad? Are you glad now that you hung in there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If that friend had told you, I mean, trying to be objective, and I know you can't totally, but going back there, Mm-hmm. If she just joined in with, he's a jerk, why do you take this, get out of this, you think you would have?
I might have, yeah. I've seen it in other people. You know, sadly, I think, especially with women, I think divorce is contagious, and I think husband bashing is contagious. And, you know, when one of us starts, we join in, and it's an ugly trait. But she didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. I asked that question, by the way, because I have found that we influence each other a lot more than we think. And let me just say this. If you have a friend and they're going through a difficult time and they come and cry on your shoulder and you love on them and you care for them, be careful not to get sucked in to whatever message they are looking for you to endorse that may not be for their benefit. In other words, to be really careful to know that you do make a difference and what you say can make a difference. Asking open-ended questions, challenging them to really seek God, getting help, making sure they're doing the right thing, because it's easy to jump on the wrong bandwagon and in the process create problems for them for the future. Just a thought. All right. Let me see here. Let's go. Where am I going? Joan? Is Joan next? Let's go to Joan in New Mexico, standing by in friendship. So, Joan, what do you have to share on this?
When I first heard you ask the question, I thought right away of respect. And because it's so easy when you're close to somebody to make side remarks or offhand remarks and not realize that the other person might not get what you were saying. But after I thought about it a little bit longer and heard some of your calls, I have to say that what I think is the most important is somebody with a positive attitude who can see the positive in whatever it is. I mean, this is a time when there's so much to be negative about and fear-mongering and, oh, woe is me, and victimization. Mm-hmm. And somebody who can actually look for the positive, because there is always something positive to look for. And the people that are saying, hey, you know, I'm getting back in touch with my family, I'm learning how to prioritize my time. So I think being positive and being able to actually look for the positive aspects of whatever's going on.
Randy, I'm calling from Central Alabama. I've listened to your program off and on over the last several years that I've traveled, and you have offered a lot to the listeners and the participants in your program, and I want to thank you. I want to tell you that when I first heard your initial broadcast for the first time a couple of years ago, new to me, I was highly skeptical, because I'm always skeptical of people who offer advice and guidance, because there's so much bad advice, unbiblical and non-biblical guidance offered these days. But I've grown to have a sincere and a deep appreciation and gratitude for your balanced view and balanced attitude and balanced approach toward offering compassion and guidance and biblically solid advice to the people who call in. People are grateful, very grateful for you. And I want you to be encouraged to continue to keep your focus biblically. So I just want to thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And, you know, we live in a very loud culture today. Everything's loud, loud on TV, loud on radio. The louder you get, is as though volume represents truth, and it doesn't. And so I've never been particularly a loud person. But I tell you what, I've been radical in terms of my understanding that being intentional in our walk with Christ can radically change our life. It can change your marriage. It can change your finances. It can change your health. It can impact your life for God's glory and for the benefit of those you love, including yourself. Life is short. Living with a whole pile of regrets and pain just doesn't make sense to me. When we get up in the morning to say, hey, I know why I'm here, what God called me to do, who I am, I'm not perfect, but I choose to live intentionally in Christ today. And this is possible because of Him. And we just want to continue to share this message. And I thank those of you who are standing with us, allowing us to do it for God's glory. We appreciate it. If you'd like to know more, go to TheIntentionalLife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 888 888-1717. Press number 2. Come and be a part of this journey together. Today is just one of many things that we discuss, topics that we look at intentionally. Today, building healthy friendships.
Yeah, so something that's been really huge in my relationship with my best friend has been forgiveness. She and I have been friends for about 2 years, but we got really, really close over the past about year and a half. And something that's just been a key factor in our friendship is not only trust, but forgiveness. Like, when one of us says something or does something that really, like, we feel like we messed up majorly, and we'll talk about it, we'll talk through it, and we'll forgive each other. And then also, like, along with that, second chances, because there will be times, especially for both of us, it's a very give-and-take relationship. We both do our very best to equally give and take within the friendship, but in the times where one of us feels like, oh man, I've really messed up this time, I don't even know if you can forgive me, I can't, like, what do I do? Just giving the person a second chance.
We all mess up, don't we? Some people continue to give chances, need to deal with some issues, and then others are just, boy, you crossed me and that's it, I'm done. Understanding God's intention in that relationship. What does it take, rather, to have that healthy relationship? Joe Francis wants to weigh in here from Arizona. What do you think is a characteristic, Joe Francis?
Well, I think that one important thing in friendship is honesty, to be able to not only share, but to know that the person that you're sharing with, if you're doing something wrong, they're going to let you know, and you might not like it, but that's part of being a friend, you know, just to be very honest and open and perhaps prevent someone from doing something pretty dumb.
Yeah, I agree with you total. I agree with you 100%. You know what, though? Very few of us like that. Very few of us are really.
We say
that, and I hear you, Joe Francis, and I agree with you 100%. But when it really comes down to where the rubber meets the road and a friend says, hey, you know what? I think you're down the wrong path. This is going to blow up in your face. That's a point where in many friendships, it's over. It's over because we want sometimes, even though we say we want honesty, I think many of us want people to sort of jump on the bandwagon with the decisions we've made. But I agree with you. I think that's a powerful, if we want to have good friends, they got to be able to look at us and say, I love you, brother or sister, but man, you're going down the wrong path.
Right. Yeah.
I agree with you. Do you have those kind of friends in your life, Joe Francis?
Well, I've gotten one friend like that, and I get mad at her, but then I think about it, and I realize she's being fair with me. She's not coding it, you know, sugarcoating it. She's just telling me like it is. And sometimes, like you said, you don't want to hear what like it is, but it's honest, and it's the truth, and you just need to smile and bear it.
Yeah, listen, I'll tell you what, a lot of life would be a lot easier if we had friends that would just kick us in the backside sometimes and say, that is a mess up. Don't do that. That's stupid. I love you too much to let you do that stupid thing. And if we listen to people, it could be very helpful. All right. I think we have time. Quickly, let's see if we have Catherine, want to get you in from Kansas. What's one thing that you think makes a friendship great?
Well, I couldn't narrow it down. There's two things that has played the major role in my best friend being my best friend. And that is, we accept one another. We both strive to be Christ-like. We both strive to emulate Christ. But we both realize we're humans and we're broken and we mess up. We're willing to accept that. And the second thing is, when truth needs to be spoken over an issue, it's genuinely spoken in love. The motivation is to help each other grow closer to Christ and be more Christ-like. And in the mixing acceptance and speaking the truth in love has kept us very close friends, if not best friends, for several years. And I find that that's not only important in the relationship with my best friend, but with everyone I know.
Now, what's an example, Catherine, of speaking the truth in love? Has that occurred in your friendship? Can you give an example that you feel comfortable with?
Sure. Among other things, I'm a full-time student, and I have a tendency to have tunnel vision. And I get involved in something, and that's all I see. And I'm a very late bloomer at 61 years old, going back to school.
Good for you.
Well, thank you. But dinosaurs ruled the earth when I was in high school, you know?
Oh, come on now. Careful.
Oh, true. Anyway, I had time for ministry, and I had time for school, and that was about it. I didn't realize it, but I was neglecting not only our friendship, but other relationships. And on a day that we both were able to get away, my friend and I went to lunch, had a great lunch, and she asked me if she could talk with me over something important, and I said, sure. And she said, Kath, I know school's important to you and you want to follow the path God is leading you on, but I miss you, and I see you burying yourself, and you're not taking care of yourself physically either.
And listen, that's what friends do, don't they? Sometimes they speak into our life that kind of truth that we need. All right. Thank you, Catherine. Appreciate it. We're about ready to wrap up the show. This is really kind of a two-part. Earlier in the week, we got into the topic of friendships when they need to be fixed or finished, when there's an expiration date. If you missed that, I hope you'll go back to this Tuesday and catch the program as we talk about fixing and finishing friendships. Today, of course, we focused on the upside. What are some of the positive qualities of a friendship? Our comment line is always open on whatever topic we're discussing. We love to hear your stories of what God is teaching you about living intentionally. What's one thing that's making a difference? You know, we're big around here about the power of one thing, doing the next right one thing. And so you're welcome to share that story with us by calling 888-888-1717 anytime. During West Coast business hours, you can use that same number. Press number 2 and talk to our staff. Come and be a part of the journey with us. I just want to say thanks to those of you who have been supporting us and have joined in support. Thank you to Jane from Arizona, from Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you, Andra. We also heard from Dave and Sherry. Thank you from Michigan, Kalamazoo, and from Lansing, Michigan, Jack. Appreciate it. And Fritz from Casa Grande, Arizona. These are some friends who've joined us here over the time to be a part of Intentional Living. Thank you for your support. I'm Dr. Randy. For Jennifer and Stephen, the rest of the team, God bless you. Continue to be intentional for God's glory and the benefit of those you love, including yourself. We'll see you next time.